Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, the mismatch between skills and needs is why so many young people in the Middle East and North Africa are unemployed, and women face cultural and safety barriers in entering the digital economy. But first, as many as one in three women continue to be the target of violence all over the world, and it's about time governments took action to stop it. That's the message from the World Health Organization, WHO, as 16 days of activism against gender-based violence get underway ahead of Human Rights Day on December 10. And as WHO spokesperson Fadela Shaib tells Daniel Johnson, although healthcare workers are often the first people to come into contact with victims, they lack the resources to tackle the problem.
What I can tell you is one in three women worldwide have experienced physical and or sexual violence, mostly an intimate partner. 38% of all murders are due to violence against women worldwide. And also that WHO is working with healthcare workers to provide them with the training, the knowledge, the skills that are required to recognize signs of violence against women and girls and to be able to provide the healthcare support and advice that these women are entitled to get.
You also say that there are laws in 130 countries, but they're not always followed through, and health workers are obliged to produce reports on violence against women, but they're not pursued.
A doctor, a nurse, a midwife is very often the first point of entry for a woman who is experiencing violence. It's very important for a healthcare worker to recognize the signs of violence because they will come to complain about something else, but in fact, the main problem is that she is experiencing a kind of violence, could be physical or sexual. It's true that 130 countries have laws against some kinds of violence, rape or sexual assault, but many other countries lack this kind of laws. Many health workers also are producing reports when they see a woman who is experiencing violence, but this report will die off. They will not go higher up.
So you're saying there isn't enough help and support and maybe investment too for these health workers?
What WHO is trying to do is to add in the curricula of medical students some courses about violence against women, how to recognize the signs, what to do, what are the questions that you need to ask a woman, how you should behave in front of a woman or a girl experiencing violence. So this is really lacking in the curricula of medical students and also medical nurse students or midwives.
Finally, violence against women and girls, is there a particular region or is it a worldwide global phenomenon?
It's a worldwide global phenomenon. No country is free of violence against women. What is different is some countries are taking the right measures to prevent it or to protect women. Others are not putting it as a high priority in their agenda. It affects families, it affects communities.
Women are more reluctant to engage in the digital economy because of cultural and safety barriers coupled with a lack of technical skills. That's according to Barbara Wanner, Vice President for Information, Communications and Technology, ICT, at the United States Council for International Business. She's been attending the Internet Governance Forum in Mexico, organized by the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs, DESA. There she explained to Jorge Millares what specific challenges women face in the digital technology field.
The challenges are varied, and they are not all technical. I thought that was the most interesting revelation from this workshop discussion. Women face cultural barriers that keep them from becoming engaged in the digital economy. They face barriers pertaining to online safety. They do not feel safe participating in the digital ecosystem. And then finally, sometimes they lack the requisite technical skills. So what speakers emphasized is that, you know, there's not one single thing that will solve this problem, that our approach to bridging the gender digital gap has to be holistic in nature and address a variety of challenges at once.
How do you think this kind of forum contributes to gaining in clarity of what is to be done to bridge this gap?
Well, what is so valuable at the IGF is that it enables this sort of discourse and discussion. It's not about producing a binding outcome so people don't feel obliged to negotiate text, but it allows for the sort of free exchange of ideas, which I think then can in turn inform policy more thoughtfully.
Was there any particular anecdote or example that caught your attention during the workshop?
I guess it was a point made by one of our speakers that technology is not evil. I think people are afraid by it because of the horrible experiences that some women have experienced online, but that in fact technology can also help to solve these problems and create a more safe online environment for women and create more economic opportunities for them.
Would you think that without full access of women to the internet, will this UN stated goal of achieving the development goals will be achieved?
I think another point, an important point that was raised, that is that we have to look at this on a country-by-country basis. I think the 2020 goal will be realized in many countries, but perhaps not all. And that's where we need better data and better analysis of the data to determine where the gaps are in which countries and where we have to really target remedial action.
The mismatch between required skills and qualifications in the labor market is the biggest contributor to youth unemployment in the Middle East and North Africa. That's according to Jasmine Nahas Di Florio, Senior Vice President of Education for Employment, EFE, a nonprofit organization providing skill training to unemployed youth in both regions. She says that two-thirds of all women are unemployed, and around 26% of youth in the Middle East and North Africa overall are jobless. Following a meeting hosted by the UN's Women's International Forum, WIF, at UN headquarters in New York, Ms. Di Florio told Andita Listiarini about the challenges these young people face.
There are two main problems with youth unemployment in the Middle East. One of the big issues is a skills gap. Many of the young people graduating from high school and universities do not have the skills needed by the private sector to get into the workforce. Second problem is an opportunity gap, which is that there's not so much of a meritocracy. Young people really need to be well-connected in order to get their foot in the door and their first interview.
How does EFE overcome that challenge then?
We provide skills training to young people who are underserved, young women and young men. We talk to companies to identify the skills in greatest demand by the private sector and provide that skills training to young people. We also help them get their foot in the door, that first interview with employers, so that they can get in front of the employers, they can show that they have great potential, and they can get their first job.
Is there a gender disparity amongst the unemployed? If so, why?
Youth unemployment is 26% in MENA, the largest unemployment rate in the world for youth. But for women, two-thirds of women in the MENA region are unemployed. So the situation for women is even more dire. In countries like Yemen, Jordan, you've got 10 to 15% labor participation by women in the workforce. There are a lot of barriers to women's participation. Sometimes it's physical access and mobility, getting to the job and getting home. We need to have more freelance and work from home opportunities for women. Other certain sectors and industries are more difficult for women to enter. For example, there are a lot of engineers graduating, women engineers, but they can't work on desert construction sites. So we need to look at alternative employment opportunities for young women that really match their aspirations and where they can get access to the job.
When you say alternatives to that, what kind of job areas these women can do?
A really important area that's fast growing is STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, high-tech types of jobs. So we're working to train young women in coding, software development, the kinds of jobs where they can work from a desk office in a comfortable environment and get to work. We're also looking at setting up freelance platforms so that young women and Palestinians can work from their homes and not have to actually go to a physical site. So there's a lot that can be done, and we're finding a number of tech companies and others are really eager to partner with us to create alternative employment opportunities for women.
What do these young people tell you?
Young people who are still unemployed or just starting our program, they're disillusioned, they lack hope, they're very, very concerned for their future. They've said things to me in Palestine like, in my country, having a job means I'm alive.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.